Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us. This Week in America, online, of course, thisweekinamerica.us. New from acclaimed author Curtis Cooper, Why Does Grampy Forget My Name? The illustrated children's book teaches children and adult children about Alzheimer's disease. As we follow Grampy's journey, we learn some interesting yet disturbing facts and ways to cope and interact. As a minister and life enrichment director for Alzheimer's patients, Curtis uses his expertise to present a difficult subject in a gentle and insightful manner that is not only educational for kids, but adults as well. Curtis has been playing drums since age 10. A year later, he was marching in parades, soon touring with drum and bugle corps. When he was 15, he left the drum corps to join a working rock and roll band. He began composing award-winning percussion ensembles at age 16, began teaching that same year. While teaching private music lessons, Curtis wrote 6 music books for drum students. A prolific songwriter, composed the rock opera The Ballad of Johnny Rose in 2008. In 2001, Curtis graduated from the seminary at the Church of Divine Man. He continued graduate work, joined the staff as a meditation director, choir director, and minister. In 2005, received a bachelor's degree in music education and a California teaching credential in 2007. While teaching music to young children, Curtis became interested in writing picture books. As he developed his style of writing, he used his students to help work out the bugs. And in 2006, Johnny's First Drum was published. We've talked about it on the program before. And he received the Pinnacle Book Achievement Award. After 10 years of teaching grade school music, Curtis found a new calling, using all of his many talents to work as a life enrichment director. He's been working for people living with Alzheimer's disease since 2013. He's become an avid advocate and volunteer fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association of Oregon. He still entertains and leads drum circles at senior living communities. The author of Why Does Grampy Forget My Name? Curtis Cooper is back with us on This Week in America. Curtis, welcome to the program. I'm looking forward to this. Always great to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's great to be here. I really appreciate it.
You know, I mentioned this is a book, an illustrated children's book, and adults will learn from it as well. Talk about the concept in putting this book together. And when you started off, were you thinking this is a children's book? It sort of breaks down this complex emotional topic, but parents, adults may learn from it as well. Or did you just realize this as you were writing? Because as I'm reading it, it's like, you know, he's really done a nice job breaking this down for adults as well.
Well, you know, my writing kind of happens instantaneously, you know, because of my years at the seminary and the hours I spend in meditation. All my songs, all my writings, poems, books, they all kind of channel through me and happen pretty instantaneously. I wrote this book one afternoon. First in the morning I started, then I finished it that evening, and just took a little bit of editing after that, and I had a finished product. You know, I had already written 5 or 6 children's books based on music and drums and that sort. And so I kind of had a style going, and all my books have the same rhyme and rhythm scheme. And so when, you know, I'd come home that day and just was inspired, and I sat down and I started writing in the same rhythm, the same pattern that I'm used to writing in. And next thing I knew, I had a story.
And a very good story, too. It's Why Does Grampy Forget My Name? Curtis Cooper, our guest. His website is curtiscooper.net. Book information there, as well as the usual places. If you log on to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly to Curtis's website. I want to go back just for a second when you talk about meditation, because I think there's a valuable lesson there. You talk about the meditation and that process helps you creatively. Is that because you're able to focus, you clear your mind? We all want to focus on that creative side of us, whether we're writing a letter or working on something as you did with a book. But we have all these thoughts and going along in our mind, around in our mind. Is the meditation process blocking all those out so you can focus to do something like write this book?
Well, focus is a very important part of it. But, you know, when I speak of channeling, you know, there's a connection we have with the divine. And all the information that ever was and ever will be is already out there. And, you know, it's in like, as an analogy, you know, somebody comes up and they have a CD and someone else says, oh, can I download that onto my iPod? Do they download that information? Well, in this case, the way I see it, God already has this information. And I say to him, hey, God, can I download that? And he just channels it right through me. And that's why everything I've written usually happens in about an hour. So my download process takes about an hour.
That is interesting. That's much better than that I'm getting with our internet provider here. So you've got a better connection than we do in coming up with that. You know, in the book, you follow Johnny. Talk about Johnny. He's off to see Grandma and Grandpa. Their trip. He's looking forward to this. He usually has all of this interaction. Talk about how the story unfolds, because when he gets there, he's a little concerned because Grandpa doesn't seem to be as outgoing as he usually is.
Right. That's the first indication that something is wrong. Something's going on. Is you know, they arrive and Grandma's giving out hugs and kisses. Everybody's excited. But Grampy, he's just standing there kind of with a blank expression. And later when Johnny goes in and tries to say hello and strike up a game, he gets the same reaction. So at first he doesn't understand. It's like, you know, because as a young child, he's used to being greeted by his grandparents and he's used to being well received and remembered. And so it's obvious that there's something definitely wrong here, but he doesn't know what it is. And it takes his parents and his grandmother to really explain what's going on.
And the grandmother is somewhat reluctant to really talk about this until they have an experience the next day. Do you find in working with families that it does take a while to come to grips with what is happening, with the impact of Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia?
Absolutely. And, you know, that might be one of the triggers that set me down and had me write this book. I recall interacting with several family members of the residents where I work, and they don't always get it. Sometimes they're very short with their parents. They seem to forget that they've changed. Yes. You know, they still talk to them like they would talk to them 10 or 20 years ago. And they just have that same expectation that they've had all their life. And sometimes they get frustrated, they get mad, they get rather short with them. And I have to come along and try to calm them down and explain and talk to them in a different manner, because it's not easy. So everyone's coming to terms, not only the residents with the disease, but family members are having to come to terms with what's going on with their loved one. And that's kind of the sad part, really.
The book is Why Does Grampy Forget My Name? By Curtis Cooper, our guest on the program. His website is curtiscooper.net. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Grandma refers to it as Alzheimer's disease. They try to explain that to Johnny, and it's interesting because you do such a delicate job of explaining it, breaking it down in terms that everyone can understand. And one of the things that may be difficult for people to grasp is they have what great memories of what happened maybe decades ago, but it's recent memories that are a problem.
Right, right. Well, what happens is memories from present time start to disappear backwards in time. So in a way, memory-wise, they sort of regress, and they start going back to when they were young adults, all of a sudden teenagers, and at some point, you know, they're acting like children, and just everything goes backwards in time. But not everybody understands that. All they can know is memory loss, but there's really a pattern of sorts. And it's kind of depicted in the book itself. There's a great page there where you see the memories going backwards. And there's some memories there, and there's also a lot of blanks.
Besides the text, so well written, the illustrations add so much, like taking the words and illustrating the words, and we can look and see, yes, we see exactly what's happening with the thought process there. And you have a page where Grandma says, don't blame Grandpa, this is not his fault. And then you explain some of the key statistics involving, some of the key signs involving Alzheimer's disease. And it really breaks it down, doesn't it, on a level where, wow, this is a problem and continuing to be a major problem in the country.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, first of all, it's not his fault. That is my mantra. You know, it's not easy working around people with dementia and Alzheimer's disease. There can be a lot of behavior issues. There'll be a lot of things happening that upset people. But I have never lost my temper in the four and a half years I've been working with Alzheimer's patients, because in my heart, I always remember it's not their fault. And that's what why no matter what they do, I'm there to help them. You know, I really feel bad that they're in this situation, but it's not their fault. And if we can just remember that, it becomes so much easier to understand and keep a positive attitude and remind ourselves that we're here to help, not here to compete. But yeah, then the other thing you mentioned about the national problem, you know, other diseases such as heart disease and cancer, you know, statistically, they are down a few points, a few percentage points, as far as, you know, science and medicine is finding ways to help and cure those diseases. But Alzheimer's disease is actually up 125%.
It's amazing.
So we have a long way to go to really find a cure and ways to help with this terrible disease.
You know, I'm going to go back to what you just said, because I think that's so important. It's not their fault. Do you see that in your daily interaction with family members, maybe getting a little irritated because the loved one they've come to see is slow in responding, not doing as well as they think they should do, and sort of forget it's not their fault?
Right, right. I see both kinds. I see a lot of family members that are irritated and do forget the mantra. And I am so amazed. I see a lot of family members who always come in like almost every day with a big smile on their face, and they're so positive to have there. And I know it's not easy for them, but for those of us who can remember the mantra, it really, really makes it easier. You know, we just have to make the best we can of a sad situation, and those that do, I really appreciate what they bring to the table for us.
Well, and you take your music, and through your music are able to do that. Grandma at one point says to Johnny, maybe you'll make his life better by singing and sharing a song. Talk about the importance of that. And from what I understand, and you mentioned it in the book, the children's book, Why Does Grampy Forget My Name? Music is something that really unites people, isn't it? That's sort of like the last thing that they really have to struggle with.
Well, we know all the effects, the wonderful effects music has on so many people in so many ways. But when it comes to Alzheimer's disease, as the memories fade, literally, music is the last thing to go. And it was when I learned that fact, that's when I knew that this is my calling. This is where I had to be. You know, I've been a musician all my life, and I've always tried to find more positive outlets for my music. You know, I grew up playing in bars and stuff, and that was not always a fun environment. Well, it was fun sometimes, but we don't want to talk about that.
That's another book.
That's a whole other story. But as I get older, I really got tired of that environment, and discovering a world where I can really bring positivity to people's lives with my music was just amazing. You know, it started off as me being a drummer, percussionist, and bringing the drum circles into the senior living communities. And that's become a very popular phenomenon up here in Oregon lately. I've been getting overbooked with the drum circles. But I started working on, you know, I've always played guitar and piano a little bit, but I've had the opportunity now to play practically every day. And I've just gotten a little better over the years. And so now I focus a little more on sing-alongs and entertaining the residents. And, you know, basically music's great and positive and wonderful and healing. But when we actually participate in the making of the music, you know, that's when the right and left hemispheres of our brain come together and start working simultaneously. They say that music is the only activity that activates both sides of our brain simultaneously. And so when I get the people involved, I get them singing along or playing drums, I know I'm doing a little something that's just helping them retain what they still have left.
couple minutes left in the program. When you look out, when you're doing the music and they're singing along and you see them, their faces light up. Maybe there's a memory you've sparked there. You're leading them. They're picking up on the lyrics and singing along. And you see that response. What's that like for those few minutes of joy that you're bringing into their lives? I can't imagine anything really more fulfilling.
You know, in my current job, I get a lot of tears. A lot of tears come to my eyes, and they're tears of happiness. You know, it's just the joy of seeing the faces light up and what it brings to them. Not only do I see the smiles on the people that are awake, but there's some people that are commonly, they appear to be unconscious, and you think, oh my gosh, are they even aware? It's when I see their toes tapping and their fingers moving and their lips moving, I realize, oh my God, I am even getting to the ones that appear to be the farthest along and completely gone. And it's like, if they're in the room and I'm playing music, I'm able to touch them, even through a very subtle way. But that's such a joy and just so amazing, especially, you know, to get the ones that you think will never get it, because other activities they cannot do. But this is the one activity that absolutely everybody in the room can benefit from.
And in many, if not most cases, they respond. Curtis Cooper, our guest on the program, Why Does Grampy Forget My Name, is illustrated children's book. By the way, all profits will go to the Alzheimer's Association from the book, Why Does Grampy Forget My Name? This is basically, and I understand this is the Johnny's Tales from the Grandma series. What are you working on now? What's up next?
Well, I have a series already written. It's a matter of getting those books finished. I completed Johnny's First Drum as part of a trilogy. After that came Little Drummer Boy. And, you know, as I go out and take some of my residents out to happy hour, they tell me stories. And I have one great story about a lady who met Gene Krupa many years ago. And so she becomes grandma, and grandma's explaining to Johnny about this old famous drummer from a long time ago and how she once met him here in Portland. And so the books I'm working on are back to the music books that I was writing. But the follow-up to Grampy, where I leave it hanging, is there will be a follow-up, which will be an intergenerational sing-along book.
Ah, very good. Very good. What's the timeline look like on that? Okay, I think I just put pressure on you by asking that question. Forget that. Yeah. We will wait and talk about it when it's released. It's always a pleasure to have Curtis Cooper with us on the program. His website is curtiscooper.net. The book's available, of course, wherever you find books, and the profits going to the Alzheimer's Association. The book is Why Does Grampy Forget My Name? You can link on directly to Cooper's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Curtis Cooper, again, the author. Curtis, it is always a pleasure, just a masterful job in what you've done with this book, with the text, with the words, with the pictures. Everything is just it's a message for everybody. Congratulations on the book, and thank you once again for being with us on the program.
Thank you, Rick. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
It is great to have you with us on the program. Curtis Cooper, our guest. His website, curtiscooper.net. The book, Why Does Grampy Forget My Name? You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program after we pause for these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.